Thanks to Raycon wireless earbuds for supporting the Productivity Show. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/TPS. Thanks also to Sleep Cycle for supporting the Productivity Show. Sleep Cycle is the app to help you improve your sleep. Go to sleepcycle.com/TPS and get access to Sleep Cycle Premium for 7 days absolutely free. We'd also like to thank Masterclass for supporting the Productivity Show. You can find hundreds of video lessons from today's most brilliant minds available anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, desktop, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. Get 15% off your annual all-access pass at masterclass.com/TPS.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. How often do you find yourself saying, I can't deal with this right now, I'll figure it out later, or you just avoid decisions altogether? Well, for busy professionals like yourself, it's extremely common, and the culprit is usually decision fatigue. The more decisions you make in a short period of time, the poorer quality your decisions become, and the less willing you're willing to make them. We've all been there. Well, in this episode, we're going to cover 3 strategies that you can use to cut off decision fatigue and tools that you can use to keep your focus on the important decisions that really do need your attention and focus. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/318. And now, on with the show. And we are back for another episode of The Productivity Show. It feels good to be back here. I know Marmel took my spot last week, but I'm really excited to be back here with you, Brooks. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Yeah, it was super awesome having Marmel on, but it's nice to have you back as well.
People were voting to have her back and replace me permanently, but I'm not quite ready for that move just yet, but maybe at some point it might happen. Just kidding. She'll be back here on the show as well to share her wisdom as our Scrum Master. But for those who are brand new to The Productivity Show, my name is Tan. I'm the founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency.
And my name is Brooks. I'm the COO, and we're the co-hosts of The Productivity Show.
This is all about helping you become more productive at work and in life. And today we're going to be talking about decision fatigue and how this is going to impact you in different ways that you might not be aware of and what you can do about this to overcome this as well. One of the things we always like to do before we start things off here is to kind of share some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. So I'm going to share a few of mine here today. So the first one is an app called Luma Fusion. It's an iOS app, and it's kind of like an advanced and simpler version of iMovie where you can edit videos, and something I've been using when I've been like traveling and going on road trips and I wanted to create like really simple videos. Normally I would export it to my computer and then edit it in iMovie or even sometimes ScreenFlow. But now I just do it right from my phone, and it's super easy and simple and very powerful, especially if you have an iPhone 10 and up. The second recommendation that I have is a book called High Output Management by Andrew Grove. So this book talks about real life business scenarios as well as techniques for creating highly productive teams and how to motivate people that lead to peak performance. It's one of the books I've read many, many years ago and something I always like to reference every now and then because it's such a timeless book. So definitely great for those who are business owners, managers, entrepreneurs, intrapreneurs, anyone who's leading teams. This is something I would definitely recommend as well. And then the third one is another app called Air Alo. So this is something I just discovered when I was traveling through Europe and was recommended by my friend Ben, who travels a lot too. And this app, what this allows you to do is to have virtual SIM cards within an app. So instead of buying physical SIM cards, you can now have like an eSIM where you can buy within the app a specific SIM card from a specific country and then use that particular phone number and all the data and everything else just through the app. I don't know how it works, but it just works. And I tried this when I was back in the Netherlands visiting my dad and also some friends, and it worked just fine. So it's something I will continue to use and definitely can recommend to you as well, especially if you love to travel a lot. So those are some of our resources. We have links to all of this in the show notes. So if you're listening to us here, you can swipe on your podcast app, or if you're listening elsewhere, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/318. So Brooks, we're going to be talking about decision fatigue. And I know you and I've been talking a lot about decision fatigue behind the scenes, what it is, how it impacts people. And if you're listening to this right now, you're thinking, what is this? Well, this is a kind of like a common phenomenon that a lot of people don't even know even exists. So if you're in that camp, I know you're going to love this episode as well, especially if you feel irritable, get easily overwhelmed, and you don't have a lot of energy. Just because there's just so much stuff going on in your life and you're like, oh man, I don't know what I want to do, or I can't even decide what I want to eat tonight, this episode is for you. Also, if you're someone who on a day-to-day basis makes a ton of decisions, like we're talking about hundreds of decisions every single day in a very short period of time, and it stresses you out, this episode is for you as well, because we're going to share some tips and strategies to help you like address that, because that's the number one thing that leads to decision fatigue. And we're going to share some tips to help you with that. And if you're someone who already knows what decision fatigue is, but you want to discover some more advanced strategies for addressing this and maybe some routines that you can incorporate into your life, then I know you're going to love this episode as well. Brooks, I know we have a really exciting announcement to make when it comes to a new product and offering that we have at Asian Efficiency. I don't want to keep people in the dark here, but would you mind sharing what we just created and launched?
Yeah, so we introduced this last week on last week's episode, and we got really great feedback on it. We're not going to like talk a huge amount about this every episode, don't worry. But since last week's episode was about Outlook, we kind of figure if people don't use Outlook, they might not have heard the episode. So we want to reintroduce it in this episode as well. And what we're introducing is a brand new special upgraded version of the podcast, The Productivity Show. We call it TPS Plus. And so if you're on your computer or on your mobile phone, you can just go into a browser and go to tps.plus, or of course, we'll have a link in the show notes, theproductivityshow.com/318. And yeah, this is a special version, a special premium version of The Productivity Show. You get episodes ad-free. So if you, for whatever reason, aren't into listening to ads in a podcast episode, you get a completely ad-free version, and you also get it a week early. So if you're somebody who really likes listening to The Productivity Show, you get it a week before anyone else. And we have a whole bunch of other benefits as well. We do want to make sure to stress, though, that if you do just enjoy listening to The Productivity Show, I know a lot of people actually tell us, because we get a lot of feedback on our awesome advertisers, so they like listening to the ads and getting ideas, no problem. Nothing's going to change in the podcast itself that you're listening to. However, for those that want an upgraded experience, TPS Plus is there. So like I said, no ads. You'll get the episodes a week early. We're going to be doing a special Ask Us Anything episode every month. You have a special place where you can submit those questions, and Tan and I and Marmel, whoever, between the three of us, will record a special episode every single month where we answer your questions. You'll have access to a live stream of the podcast. So if you want to listen in live, you can and ask questions, get them answered while we're recording the episode. You'll be able to do that. And we'll do something that we've never done before, which is we'll give access to our special private show notes. So I know it sounds like Tan and I just make this stuff up off the top of our heads sometimes, but nope, we have very detailed show notes. You can go through and follow along with the show notes as you listen to the episodes. You can also see what didn't make it into the episodes. Sometimes we cut things, sometimes we move things around. So you will be able to see all that. And we have this very special bonus that Tan and I were just talking about this morning, which is we are going to be recording a very special day in the life of Tan Pham, a day in the productivity life of Tan Pham, special bonus episode, which Tan should be scared about this right now. I'm going to make Tan reveal all of the secrets, everything he does to be productive on a day, a week, and a yearly basis. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that will be accessible just for TPS Plus members as well. So again, TPS.plus.
Awesome. My favorite feature is probably the detailed show notes, because you really get a look behind the scenes of what we write and what we say. And you also get access to the links and stuff that didn't make it into the show notes and onto the episode, but also you kind of get to see your thinking process behind the scenes and really get detailed notes about what we agree upon, what we don't agree upon, what should we talk about, what should we not talk about. Like, these are some things you never get to see, right? But it's all the behind the scenes stuff. So if you're really into that and you want to dive deeper into what we have going on at Asian Efficiency, this is like the place to do it. So TPS Plus, go check it out.
The other thing I'll mention about that before we move on, it's a monthly subscription. However, we do have an annual plan. So if you sign up for the annual plan, you'll save 2 months, but you will also get a special one tweak a week TPS Plus t-shirt, which, well, you can't see it because it's a podcast, but I'm wearing right now. I have the only one in the entire world right now that just came yesterday. And I'm excited for our annual members to get access to that as well. So there'll be a special t-shirt just for TPS Plus annual members.
It's so exclusive that I don't even have one. Nope. So for those who are buying the annual subscription, you're going to be one of the lucky ones. I hope to be able to join that club myself. But we're going to be talking about decision fatigue here today. So Brooks, for those who don't know this term, can you kind of explain to people what decision fatigue is and why we're talking about this today?
I think we've all had a sense of what this is, but as a phenomenon, it was coined by Roy Baumeister, and it's basically the emotional and mental strain resulting from making a bunch of different decisions throughout the day. So the more decisions you make, and I think we've all experienced this, I definitely have, the more decisions you make throughout the day, the quality of the decisions you make kind of goes down throughout the day. And there's things you can do to help that out, which we're going to be talking about today. But that's the general concept of it. Like for example, I definitely notice a big change in the evenings. If I have a work day where I have to decide on a bunch of things, figure a bunch of things out, by the time I kind of close down the laptop and go upstairs and be with my family, when I have a day like that compared to a day where I'm just like cranking stuff out, executing, I'm just like making stuff happen, but don't necessarily have to make a ton of decisions, I'm completely different with my family. I will often push things off to the next day if I've had one of those decision-filled days. I was just like, I don't feel like dealing with this. And I'm generally a lot more helpful to my family when I have those days where I can minimize the decisions I need to make. How about you, Tan? Have you ever experienced this?
Yeah, just recently, as an example, I was planning a trip with my friends. So there's about 7 people involved. And it was kind of a complex situation because planning a trip is kind of stressful, but also as someone who's a kind of a curator, one of the most important things I've discovered when it comes to having a fun trip or a good trip is actually the people. It's not necessarily the destination or how you get there. It's really about the people at the end of the day. And so I'm always very considerate of like who likes who gets along with who should be invited, who should not be invited. If we're not inviting someone, like, how do we make sure that they don't find out so they don't feel like left out? And you know, there's like 100 million decisions I already have to make when it comes to just who do we invite? And then when we think about, okay, where are we going? What are the logistics? Are we renting a car? What's the size? You know, is it gasoline? Is it eco-friendly? What time of day are we going? Does this date work for this person, for that person? And for every single person you add onto your trip, there's like 100 decisions that you have to make, right? Is this person gluten-free? Okay, we have to buy different snacks now. Is this person like X, Y, and Z, right? So I remember planning this trip. I was like waking up really early around 5 or 6 and then kind of like working on it before I started working on Asian Efficiency stuff. And by the time I was done, it was maybe 2 hours of like intense just focus, but also just like making all these decisions that by the time it was time to actually work on the Asian Efficiency stuff, my brain was just so fried from all the decisions I had to make that I literally had to lay down for just like an hour and just like not think about anything else before I could really just like be like fresh again. And that's, if that makes sense, because my brain was just like literally just fried. I just couldn't think about stuff anymore. Like, I didn't think about what I wanted to eat. I didn't want to think about like what I wanted to drink, what I want to do next, what I was going to say on our daily huddle. I was just like, okay, I'm out of this world right now in that sense. And I just don't want to talk to anyone. I just need to recharge before I can actually decide on anything else. And so if you've ever been in that situation where you just made so many decisions, your brain is just like, okay, I'm done for today. That's that kind of feeling where decision fatigue can kick in.
Like I mentioned, we record these podcasts live with our Dojo members and also our TPS Plus members. And Giacomo asked a good question, which is, could we give some examples of what exactly is a decision that we're talking about and why it consumes energy? And a decision really could be anything as small as what you're going to eat that day, what you're going to wear that day, could be how you're going to get the kids to soccer practice. It could be who's going to do what, taking stuff over to the in-laws' house. It could be like kind of like simple family things like that, to the big things at work. You know, how am I going to integrate this system with that system? Or what am I going to say to this colleague in another department who's causing problems for my staff? It could be a bunch of different things. And the thing is, the thing you want to do ideally is eliminate as many of those kind of smaller decisions so that you really can give a good amount of focus on the bigger, more high impact decision. Giacomo was asking, you know, how does it consume energy? And the problem that decision fatigue causes is you either start to make risky decision making or you avoid decisions. So you start, when you're running low on that kind of mental energy from all these sort of decisions, you are basically kind of go with, sometimes you go with the first thing that comes to your mind, or you just say, I can't deal with this right now, I'll do it later. And so it kind of leads to procrastination, like that thinking, oh, I'll tackle it later, or impulsivity, like I can't choose between all these different options, I just can't choose right now. Or, you know, indecision, you might say no to something that you really, if you had thought about it, would say yes, but because you just feel like you can't make one more decision, or you just don't have the space for it, you just say no to things that you should really say yes to. So those are some of kind of like examples of decisions you might make and the impact they can cause.
Another way to think about this is whenever you're thinking, oftentimes it can be very free flow. You're just considering options. You're just like, your mind goes in a different direction. It just goes somewhere. Whereas with decisions, there's usually tension. You have to choose between A or B, or you have to choose between A, B, C, D, E, F, or whatever. And the more options you have, the more things you have to then take into consideration. There's all this tension, and you have to then figure out what's the one thing essentially that I'm going to decide that I will do or agree upon. Whereas we're thinking, it can just go anywhere, and you don't even have to decide on anything really, right? So when you have that tension and you have to really mentally process all these things, it actually requires a lot of energy. And the famous example that everyone always talks about is, you know, you see, I know where I'm going with this, is back in the day when Steve Jobs was giving the Apple keynotes, you would always see him in the same outfits, right? You see this black turtleneck, blue Levi's jeans, and some, I believe, like New Balance sneakers. And it was the same thing over and over and over again. He kind of became known as the poster child for decision fatigue, in the sense that every time he showed up, he just knew one decision that he had to make, which was, I'm going to wear this. That's it. I'm going to wear a black turtleneck, blue jeans, New Balance sneakers, and that's it. I don't have to worry about, like, am I going to wear a yellow shirt today, a pink shirt, a blue shirt? Am I going to wear this pair of jeans? Is it going to be black? What kind of shoes am I going to wear? Right? Just getting dressed is 100 different decisions already, let alone if you're someone who really cares about fashion or your appearance, that can exponentially grow even further, right? You can start thinking about like makeup, hair products, perfume, cologne. Like, there's just so many different directions you can go in, especially if you have a cologne collection of like 50 different colognes or perfumes. You know, that's just prime time for you to be worn down before you even start going to work. And so the whole idea behind decision fatigue is that we want to eliminate as many decisions as possible and really simplify it. Otherwise, you're going to run into different symptoms of decision fatigue, such as procrastination. A lot of times procrastination is related to decision fatigue. And a lot of times it's related to lack of energy. You don't have the energy, whether it's physical or mental, to make a decision or to actually do something. Right. That's why certain productivity systems don't really work for some people, because some productivity systems require a lot of decisions up front. Right. Some are really well known to have like major decision trees and flowcharts and everything else. And when you have to like just process an inbox, for example, and you have to go through like 50 decisions before you decide, okay, this is what I should be doing, that's really challenging both physically and mentally. Right. Another symptom that might be seen as decision fatigue is indecision. So when you're in the moment, you have to decide, like, when am I going to eat? Instead of actually deciding, you just say, you know what? No, I'm just not going to deal with this whatsoever. I'm just not going to eat altogether. Right now, that's a really simplified example, but you see this in day-to-day life and decisions you make or non-decisions you make at work as well, where you might avoid it altogether and just say, hey, you know what? I just can't deal with this right now. Right? That's another form of a symptom that you might see there. Or you just go with whatever is easiest, like you said, Brooks, right? Just being impulsive and just say, okay, you know what? Fine, I'm just going to go with this. Like, I don't even worry about it. And then you might make a poorer decision. And so sometimes those decisions can be really expensive. What if you decide for a whole quarter, hey, you know what? Instead of me deciding what we're going to do, let's just go with the thing that was first presented. We're just going to launch a new app. Before you know it, you spend a whole quarter, a whole year building something, spending all this money, time, resources, only to find out that was the wrong decision just because you were tired or indecisive at that moment, right? And so we want to avoid all these different things, and we want to make sure that whenever you are making a decision, it's always the best quality decision when possible.
So apparently everyone knew about this but me. Former The Productivity Show guest Darren Boss was tweeting about a podcast called Origins, which has a 6-part oral history podcast series about one of my very favorite movies, Almost Famous. It's been out for ages, but I just found out about it now. I've been binge listening to it when I'm walking around the house, and you know what the best way to listen is? Using a pair of premium wireless earbuds, especially if you can get them at less than half the price of the other guys. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. We teamed up with Raycon and they're offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/TPS. I've been really impressed with the noise isolation. I use my Raycons every single day. Like I said, I usually use them when I'm moving around the house. I might be in the kitchen or in my office or cleaning up somewhere. They're awesome, comfortable, and like I said, the noise isolation is really, really impressive. Raycon's newest model is the one that I have, the Everyday E25 earbuds. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. For limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/TPS. That's buyraycon.com/TPS. For a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds, make sure to check it out now while the deal's running. buyraycon.com/TPS. This episode is about decision fatigue, but I want to talk about another type of fatigue, lack of quality sleep. Sleep Cycle is one of our favorite apps, and it's tracked and measured sleep for more than a decade. Some sleep tools are annoying and intrusive, but not Sleep Cycle. It just works away in the background when you sleep. Anyone who sleeps, hopefully that's you, can benefit from Sleep Cycle. So what does Sleep Cycle do? Well, in the free version, there's the Sleep Cycle Analysis feature. When you sleep, it listens to your sleep and analyzes your sleep patterns. Sleep Cycle can help you understand your habits and guide you to a routine to help you increase the quality of your rest. This will basically boost all of your health platforms, nutrition, exercise, body, and mind. Sleep is fundamental to all of those. In the free version, there's also insights, sleep training, and preventative care. Now, in the premium version, there's some additional features which are great. There's the wake-up window. This is a signature feature. It detects when you're at your perfect time to wake up in the lightest part of your sleep cycle, and then it wakes you up. So you'll wake up feeling rested and refreshed. There's also a sleep aid feature. So even if you don't care about tracking, analyzing, all that stuff, you can still get a lot of benefit out of Sleep Cycle. Sleep Aid helps you with your evening routine to get relaxed and find comfort before sleeping. There's meditation guides, stories, music, landscape ambiance, and even ASMR sounds. The thing about sleep is it's hard to know if your sleep is improving or not over time. You just know how you feel in the morning. That's one reason I really like the sleep trends feature. I can see my sleep patterns over time, so I can see if the things I'm doing to improve my sleep are actually working or not. I like how Sleep Cycle tracks all that for me, so I don't need to figure it out. So go to sleepcycle.com/TPS today to start improving your sleep for free. Remember to go to sleepcycle.com/TPS, and you'll also get access to Sleep Cycle Premium for 7 days, absolutely free, or just click the link in the show notes. Payment info is required, but you can cancel for free at any time. That's sleepcycle.com/TPS to start improving your sleep tonight for free. Masterclass lets you learn from the best with exclusive access to online classes taught by masters of their craft. You can learn entrepreneurship from Sarah Blakely, restaurant recipes from Gordon Ramsay, or poker strategy from Phil Ivey. There's over 75 exclusive classes taught by masters you know and love. So what is MasterClass? MasterClass is an app accessible on your phone, web, or Apple TV that offers a wide variety of topics. These classes are all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. Sometimes I can't believe the people that they have. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons, and there's downloadable materials so you can explore them all at your own pace. Whether you're interested in business, TV writing, game design, investigative journalism, or Mexican cooking, there's a masterclass for you. The great thing is the lessons are about 10 to 15 minutes in length, so they fit in the time that you have. You don't need to sit there for an hour lecture. They give you everything and keep it short and succinct for you. I've been going through Jeff Goodby and Rich Silverstein's Teach Advertising and Creativity. Their agency created the Got Milk campaign and a ton of Super Bowl ads. Now, obviously, we're not making TV commercials here, but the How to Tell a Story in 30 Seconds lesson was super useful for me, and I'm going to use the tools that they provide in my own creating going forward. So I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every masterclass, and as the Productivity Show listener, you get 15% off the annual all-access pass. Go to masterclass.com/TPS. That's masterclass.com/TPS for 15% off MasterClass. Yeah, in my corporate days, I've definitely been in a lot of meetings where a lot of big things were decided. And I swear the decision that was reached was mainly because everyone was tired and sick of sitting it there in that meeting. So that is not generally the best recipe for making good decisions. But we do have some ways that you can overcome decision fatigue, that you can start making the right choices. So Tam, why don't you start us off with number one? What's the number one way to overcome decision fatigue?
So the first one is to plan daily and make repetitive decisions the night before. As we are recording in front of our audience here in the dojo, and in the future also for TPS Plus members, people are saying how they're laying their clothes on their bed before they go to bed and kind of know what to wear the next morning. That's like a prime example of planning something the day before. And we all have to get dressed up in the morning, right? We all have to wear some clothes. And so what if you do it the night before? So then as soon as you wake up, you eliminate that decision so you can just like move forward right away instead of waking up, going through your closet, trying to figure out what you're going to wear, wasting all this time. And then you might be already tired from just like figuring out what to wear to then actually going to work, right? And there have been several studies that have shown that we make over 35,000 decisions a day. Just think about that 35,000 decisions a day. And if we dive deeper into the research, we make over 226 decisions on food alone. Just think about that. That's like over 200 decisions just deciding what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat, you know, how much we're going to eat, right? For morning, lunchtime, for the evening time, sometimes for even for snacks. That's just so many decisions. And you can eliminate a lot of them so you spare yourself all this energy. And the way to do that is just plan as much as possible and make the repetitive one as easy as possible as well and simplify it as much as possible. So, for example, certain decisions you're always going to be making is what do I wear for work? What do I eat for breakfast? What time should I get up? What time do I need to leave my home for an appointment for work or something else? These are all decisions you have to make every single day. So how can we streamline? How can we plan these things? How can we make it routine or almost like repetitive so that ideally you do it the night before so that as soon as you wake up, you can just be ready and good to go.
Yeah, Kim in the live stream gives a good example. She says when she does, this is actually really smart, when she does her laundry on Saturdays, she puts her clothes in the order that she's going to wear it so that she can just grab the first one in the morning. I think that's really, really, really smart. And like you said, I know Katie in the live stream has just finished her dissertation. Today is dissertation day, and she's had a huge project to work on all that. And she was saying, yeah, because she had zero energy or time for any decisions that didn't involve that. Like you mentioned, she's done meal planning or meal kits, delivery kits, and all that sort of thing just to get her through this period where she knew she had to focus on her higher quality decisions. I know for me, I haven't quite gone the Steve Jobs route, wearing the black turtleneck and the New Balance, but I have in the last probably a year or so. I've really simplified my wardrobe and really cut out a lot of the colors so that everything would match. I never have to worry if one thing doesn't match with something else. I think my wife kind of hates it. I had a delivery came the other day and it was like 5 black t-shirts. So she wasn't too impressed with that. Part of that's because I have no fashion sense. I'm not a Mr. Tan Fam here, but mainly it was just for simplification purposes. One thing I do try to do, and this is related to this, is look for potential roadblocks or issues or decisions that I might have to make the next day. So if I know I'm going to be working on a thorny issue, or if we have some sort of specific meeting that I know I'm going to need to make a lot of decisions about, I try to think about what's going to go wrong the next day. And that way I can know what I'm going to have to focus on. If I know, I can just see that an issue that I'm working on maybe in our sprint is going to be a problem, I will make sure to have lunch ready so that I don't need to worry about figuring out what to eat. I have my meals ready. And I kind of look at the next day just to make sure I'm prepared for that. In the book Start Finishing by Charlie Gilkey, which I just read on vacation recently, he talks about doing this for every project that you do. He calls it a pre-mortem. And I like that idea, looking at what could possibly go wrong and then kind of planning around that. So I try to do that quickly every day. It doesn't take a lot of time once you get used to doing it.
One of my favorite ways to address this is actually one of my favorite rituals that I have, which is an evening ritual. So think of it as the opposite of a morning routine. So the morning routine, which is also one of my favorite rituals, is something that you do to kind of get ready in the morning to set yourself up for a successful and productive day. Well, the evening ritual is the opposite of that. It's kind of a way for you to end your day and get ready for a really good night of sleep. So part of my evening ritual is to go through a checklist that I have in Evernote. It's called an evening ritual and takes less than 30 minutes to go through. And one of the things on there is, for example, planning what I'm going to wear the next day. Now, this is where I kind of break my own personal advice here, because I do love fashion. I'm very into that. And also I use clothes as a way of expression. So I don't wear the same things every day or have like similar items. I have a very colorful wardrobe, lots of colors of t-shirts and shirts and pants and trousers and different types of shoes. I was counting the number of shoes I had the other day, and shockingly, it was 47 pairs, including workout shoes. So this just shows you it's a little overboard here, right? And so I do use that as a form of expression. But what I still do is I will still plan the night before what I'm going to wear the next day. And so that way, as soon as I wake up and I have to get ready, I know at least what I'm going to wear, and I don't have to waste any time in the morning to kind of get myself ready. And it's because it's such a low quality decision, it doesn't actually require that much energy. So I like to do it during that time. I know some people like to do it like a week in advance, where like every Sunday they go, okay, Monday I'm going to wear this, Tuesday I'm going to wear that, Wednesday I'm going to wear this. I think that could work for a lot of people. For me personally, I don't, just because my day sometimes gets changed quite a bit by either social events or that kind of stuff. So I usually plan it the night before. But I also like to strategize, like, okay, what am I eating tomorrow? Do I have dinner or lunch with someone tomorrow? Okay, am I going to fast then until that time, or am I just going to eat something before then as usual, right? Also, where do I need to be? What time am I eating? These are all kind of like tiny decisions I like to make before I go to bed. And also it kind of helps me empty my head. So it actually helps me sleep better when I know it. I don't have to stress about what I'm going to wear tomorrow, where I need to be tomorrow, what time I need to leave my place, yada, 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 yada. And so going through that evening ritual and having kind of like that checklist of going through these decisions already actually helps me sleep better, because I feel like I don't have to stress about all these different things before I really start sleeping. And so that's something I would recommend everyone look into, is how can you create a checklist for your evening routine or evening ritual, as I like to call it, and just make all these decisions for the next day. And when you implement that, you'll start to notice that, one, you'll start to sleep better. Typically, I notice my REM sleep going up, which is great for mental clarity and feeling like really refreshed. And then also just being stress-free. So the more stress we eliminate by just knowing what's coming ahead, the happier you are. And I've definitely noticed that the more confident and more in control I feel about what's coming up the next day, the happier I am. So that's something I definitely want to put out there and for everyone to consider.
All right. So that is, speaking of the next day, we might as well roll on to our next tip, which is what you do when you start the next day. And that is number two, work on the most important thing first. And this is, of course, something we've talked about on the podcast before, but it definitely applies to beating decision fatigue, putting your best energy and your attention towards the most important thing as early as possible. We call it, and Brian Tracy calls it, many other people, Charlie Gilkey calls it, eating your frog. So doing your most important tasks in the morning. And we have a guide to that in the show notes, theproductivityshow.com/318, which we've linked to. And one of the reasons we recommend that, there's a lot of different reasons why this is super powerful, but one of the reasons is we tend to be more cautious and meticulous in our choices. We tend to focus better earlier in the day versus later. So we tend to put more thought into our choices we make earlier in the day versus later when that decision fatigue is starting to chip away. So what you want to do is ideally front load your kind of high impact important decisions so that it hasn't been kind of reduced from all the little ones that pop up throughout the day. So do your best if you have a big decision that requires that kind of careful consideration. Try to make it in the morning and ideally the first thing you tackle. Now, this doesn't necessarily work for everyone. This is something that we always recommend that you experiment and see how it goes. Like, for example, if you haven't listened to it, the Productivity Show TPS 226. So this is quite a while ago, but I talked to Erin Chase and she talks about how what she likes to do is knock off some of the less important things first, because then they're not on her mind and weighing her down. She gets those out of the way and then she can really focus on her big thing. So that's what works for her. But she found that out by doing a bunch of trial and error and experimenting. And we recommend you start with doing your most important things first and then go from there. How about you, Tan? How do you handle this?
So for me, I like this whole thing of like eating your frog. I even have, you know, a picture here. If you're watching the video, you can kind of see here. If you're listening, I have a big picture here in the background that is a kind of like a cool looking frog with glasses on. And it reminds me every single day to eat my frog, to do the most important task as soon as I wake up. And I think the misconception a lot of people have around this is, well, I'm a late owl or I stay up really late. Does this even apply to me? So one way to rethink about this is it doesn't necessarily apply to the morning necessarily, but as soon as you wake up. So whether you wake up at 5 a.m. or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you typically have the most energy and focus after you wake up because, you know, you just slept, you have all this energy. Hopefully you had a good night of sleep, right? If not, you should check out Serene Sleep, which is one of our courses that helps you sleep better at night. And when you wake up, usually in the earlier part of your day, you have the most control of your day as well, right? So people aren't like bombarding you just yet. There's oftentimes not many social events going on, right? So you have a lot of control around that time as well. And so if you can just simplify all decisions on what needs to be done by just doing it first thing, whether you wake up at 5 a.m. or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, after you get that done, you can then be free to do all the other things that need to be done. And oftentimes when those things don't get done, at least you can still say that you had a really productive day. And that's why I think it's so powerful to do the most important thing first thing as soon as you wake up. So even if you wake up later in the day, use that first block after you wake up to really focus on the most important task. So you don't have to dread on it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to like let it linger in the back of your head saying, oh man, I really have to do this paper or this TPS report. I know it's really important, but I'm going to do other things. That's just a waste of mental space and energy, to be honest. And so that's why I always like to do the hard things and the most important things first as soon as I wake up, because then once that's out of the way, not only do I have mental clarity and mental space for other things, but I feel like I have so much momentum as well, getting that out of the way. And I feel much more excited about getting other stuff out of the way. And oftentimes, in comparison, it's a lot easier too, because if I got the ugly thing out of the way first, everything else is not as ugly or as bad in comparison to what I just finished.
There's been a lot of talk in the live stream about this concept of, on the topic of sleep, actually, how having these decisions in your mind can lead to difficult sleep. And so a number of people have recommended Serene Sleep, which you mentioned. William asked an interesting question, which is, does anyone else find the need to do something useful most of the time becomes stressful. And this is something that I think can really contribute to decision fatigue as well, because if you are somebody who always feels like you have to be on, that downtime is an opportunity missed, or if you decide that you do want to sit there and watch Netflix for a while, that you're quote unquote wasting time. I want to give you a license, and I'm not sure what your thoughts are on this, Tan, but that downtime, and even if you choose to use your downtime reading fiction versus a productivity book, or if you want to use that time, you know, maybe you go out on your paddleboard, which is something myself and my family do a lot. It's okay not to be like super exercising and burning it around the lake. It's okay to lie there on the paddleboard for a while, you know, not doing anything. Downtime is just as important as active time. It's just, we recommend that you do it intentionally and make it part of your overall kind of productivity routine, so to speak. Once you do it intentionally, then hopefully you won't feel guilty about it.
Yeah. And the more downtime you have, the more energy typically you will get, the more excitement you will have as well, the more motivation. And then that all helps with addressing decision fatigue as well. So if you feel energized, especially if your REM sleep is up a lot, so if you use something like an Oura Ring that I use to track my sleep, or even like other fitness trackers that are out there, you can oftentimes figure out like how good your REM sleep is. And I've seen definitely a strong correlation based on my own observation, but also with other research, that if your REM sleep is sufficient, you typically have less symptoms of decision fatigue, because REM sleep is related to like mental clarity and how alert you feel and how fresh your brain is, to put it in simple terms. And so if you get enough REM sleep every single night, then decision fatigue is less of an issue. But if you have trouble sleeping, then it becomes definitely a bigger issue. There's just so much research around how after a poor night of sleep, we tend to gain more weight. And it's not necessarily because of the lack of sleep, although it has some effect on it, but it's just because we make really poor decisions because we feel like, oh, you know, yeah, I do deserve that ice cream, or that bag of chips actually looks pretty good right now. Instead of just saying, you know what, I'm on the diet, or I'm trying to lose some weight, this is not the right decision to make right now. I'm going to be able to override that and say, hey, you know what? Not right now. Or I didn't earn it. Or hey, let me do a workout first before I get to that bag of chips or something, right? And so I know we were going a little bit off topic, but those are really important things to take into consideration.
All right, I guess we should get back on topic. And so number two was work on your most important thing in the day. Number three is to get others to help make decisions. So if you're the one responsible for doing all the decision-making, that can be a big factor in a big contributor to decision fatigue. So it's going to threaten, as we said, your ability to make those better decisions throughout the day. So if there's any way that you can share that mental load of decision-making, even if you have the final say on things, but if you can have others help in some way, it can help prevent those feelings of overwhelm. So we've talked many times on the podcast, an example is TPS 182 about delegating tasks, but you can delegate decisions as well. You can outsource those small portions of your life, which will help you save time and then save that decision-making for more important things. This is something that can be really hard for people, I can say from experience, in leadership positions especially, because you get used to making all the big decisions. So first of all, you have the problem of having trouble delegating to maybe team members or colleagues. So that's number one. But then number two, it can bleed into your home life as well. Like for example, in a previous job, I was the one who basically made all the decisions for my department. And I just became used to that. And so I struggled when I would come home, and I struggled with being more collaborative because I was so used to being the decision maker. I would be like, you know, what do you mean you want to help plan our family vacation? I've already figured it out. I figured out the hotels. I figured out the itinerary. And it took me a while to realize that life becomes easier both in your home life and your work life if you can just let go a bit and have others help with decisions.
Oh man, whenever we were planning sprints back in the day, it was always me who had to make like hundreds of decisions of, okay, what is something we're going to do in the next 2 weeks? And I just became so overwhelmed. And even though I had a checklist of like, okay, we need to think about blog posts, we need to think about podcast episodes, we need to think about marketing, we need to think about sales, we need to think about operations, we need to think about all these different things, right? Classical entrepreneurial problem. Like, you wear so many different hats, and if you have a hard time delegating or letting go, you hold on to a lot of different things. And I had to learn over time to let go and say, hey, you know what? I am going to trust Brooks that he's going to make the right decision when it comes to like operations and things we have to do. I'm going to trust Marmel to make sure that teams are performing at a high level and that everyone is investing in their personal development and growing, instead of me just hoarding that information or keeping it to myself or making the final decisions on everything. And so if you are someone who is kind of like in that position where you have to decide for a lot of different people, or you have to plan a sprint or something like that, being able to let go is one of the hardest things, honestly. I see this with a lot of entrepreneurs where letting go, letting other people do the work, letting them make decisions can be really tough, especially if you take a lot of pride in starting what you built and it was because of all the decisions you made and you think you're the best at it. But I'm happy to say that, you know what? That's one of the best things I've ever done. For example, I used to be one of the leading CRM experts in our company, where I knew exactly how everything worked. And I'm really proud to say that I'm probably the dumbest person now when it comes to our CRM. And I just go, Brooks, does this work? Can we do this? And I just need to know yes or no. And he'll oftentimes say yes. And I go, okay, that's all I need to know. We can do that. Okay, let's just go ahead and do that. Because at this point, all I care really about is the outcome. Yes or no? Can we do this? Yes or no? And that's why also one of the best decisions I've made was hiring an executive assistant, because an executive assistant helps me address a lot of other decisions that she makes on my behalf. So my executive assistant, Jury, for those who are members of the Productive at Home course, where we teach people how to be productive working from home, we have a video in there where we share some of our workflows and how we work together and how she's my executive assistant and what she does on a day-to-day basis. And she's really there to eliminate a lot of decisions for me. Because, for example, I told her recently, hey, I want to see my parents in Southern California. And at the end of the month, can you make that happen? She's like, yes. Okay. So I made one decision to say, I want to go see my parents at the end of the month. Can we do this? Yes or no? She said, yes. Okay. Done. Right. Now she can go ahead and book my flight. She knows exactly where I like to sit. Right. I don't have to make a decision on like what time of day. Should I sit in front or should I sit in the back? Should I sit in the window, middle, aisle? What airline should I fly? You know, if I have a layover, do I want to like bump up and say, you know, I'm going to pay extra for seating in front? Like, I don't have to make any of those decisions anymore. She just made hundreds of them just on my behalf. I just had to make one decision and I said, okay, I want to see my parents at the end of the month. That's it, right? So if you're in a leadership position, imagine having people working with you that make all those decisions for you, right? And so that's one of the things I'm super proud of, is to have Brooks on the team, because Brooks honestly makes hundreds of decisions I don't have to do on a day-to-day basis, like what we do today for today's podcast episode.
Yeah, I have to admit, sometimes Tan will give guidance to the team on things he wants done in the CRM or whatever, and he'll give a suggestion for the way to do it. And then I have to kind of like go around the back door to the team and say, Tan's knowledge of this kind of ended in 2017. So here's maybe a better way to go about it, but we try to be polite about it.
That happens all the time.
Alice gives a great point, which is she talked about one of the previous podcast episodes about delegation. And she says it was really helpful. And then she said definition of done was a game changer. And this is really, really important when you're delegating decisions, especially like tasks that involve decisions, because then once you define, like, this is the definition of done, this is what it looks like when this is done, you don't have to come back and make a decision on whether it's okay or not. You don't necessarily have to evaluate. You've given that definition of done. So it becomes pretty clear for the person you're delegating that decision to whether it is quote unquote done or not, because you've already outlined that to begin with. And one thing I should mention is we talk about getting others to help with decisions, but others can be tools as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be people. So we talked about in a couple episodes ago, TPS 315, we talked about using the ICE matrix to help with deciding and prioritization. Using a tool like that can help take a lot of the decision power out, because it becomes pretty black and white or I guess like dark gray, which way you should go. So it really helps you with a decision. And even automation, you know, we talked about automation in TPS 262, automation, whether it's technology or automation in your life, the less you need to think about, the better. So that all helps with decision fatigue as well.
Also want to mention that if you are interested in hiring an executive assistant, we have a podcast episode, two of them actually. So one is 143. So if you go to deproductivityshow.com/143, there's one there. And then we also have another one at 190. So if you go to deproductivityshow.com/190, you'll find two amazing episodes on finding an executive assistant and how to train them and how they can help you eliminate a lot of decisions so you don't have to combat and address decision fatigue. Brooks, I see that we have a bonus tip here today. How lucky are we and how lucky are the listeners here today? So we have a bonus tip here. I had no idea we had one, but I guess we're going to roll with this here. So the fourth and bonus tip here today is to replace decisions with routines. So we've talked about this a little bit earlier, but one of the things we've discovered is the more routine something becomes, the less decisions you have to make, which frees up more energy and time for other things. So as an example, when you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to work out 3 times a week and I'm going to stick to that guideline. Great. Love that decision, right? Probably good for your health, for your body, for your mind and everything. But then once that week starts, you still have to make a decision on, okay, am I going to work on Monday, Tuesday? Am I going to do back to back? Am I going to do this, that? Who am I going to work out with? Am I going to have a partner? Is it going to be solo? Do I have a trainer? You know, what time of day? Am I just going to wing it? A lot of decisions already, right? Now, you can simplify this by making this a routine. So, for example, for me, I simplified all of this to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to work with my personal trainer, Bert, and we're going to do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 times a week at 2 p.m. Central Time. And that's it. Now I just know, okay, I just need to show up on Monday, 2 o'clock, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, and Friday, 2 o'clock. So I've eliminated a lot of the decisions by just making it a routine. So you can do this with a lot of different things as well, like not just the gym, but also getting groceries as an example. You can simplify that by saying, hey, I'm going to do it on the same day every single week, or having certain things shipped to you and say, hey, you know, I'm going to have this on automated shipping on Amazon, and I'm going to have it delivered on this particular day or this particular week every single month. And we can simplify a lot of those things. So we kind of talked a little bit about automation already, right? This is kind of like automation for your life. And we can do that by building all these routines.
Yeah, one of our favorite productivity books came out in the last year or so. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. If you haven't read it, highly recommend it. And we actually had James on the podcast in TPS 217. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. He talks a lot about replacing decisions with routines. And that is definitely one of the most powerful things you can do to help remove that decision-making, because you just know, you're just going through it. You don't have to decide. You don't have to think about it. You just know exactly what you're going to do. And then you can focus on the important stuff, which is kind of our theme today, is you want to do anything you can to free up that time and, more importantly, that mental energy for the important things in your life or your work.
All right. So that was the bonus tip here today. And as always, with anything that we do here at Asian Efficiency and the Productivity Show, we want to make sure that things are simple and actionable, because that's what we're known for. And we want to make sure we help you, right? It's not just about more information, but also actually giving you the results that you're looking for and making sure that you know what the next step is and making that as easy as possible for you. So if you made it all the way till the end of this episode, what we recommend that you do as a next step, starting tonight, plan your day the night before. What can you make a routine? Can you make that evening a routine? Can you make that more of a routine? Can you make that a checklist? What decisions can you make and eliminate as well? What can you do to plan for the next day? How can you make it more successful? Right? So start planning tonight and start making sure that you plan the day the night before. Just do this one thing and I know you will get tremendous results. This episode is going to be so worth it if you just do that one thing. And just always go back to this episode whenever you need to. You can always go to theproductivityshow.com/318. You'll find the show notes there as well. And don't forget to check out TPS Plus as well. You can go to www.tpsplus and be able to find some of our premium content there and also support us as well. Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.